you. Yes, I got chastised and was said, it's not about you. It's really about us learning to honor. And so get over it. And that was came from my good friend, and I really appreciate that because that was wisdom that I received. So, oh, we got blessed children. Children, come on up. Do we have? Yeah. Yeah. So. I'm not sure. Molly? Okay. All right, Molly. You want to go check, Molly? Thanks. Yeah, let me bring this over just a little bit so we can all. That's good. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these children, Lord. They aren't our afterthoughts, Lord. We get busy in our day. But, Father, they are our prime concern, and we love them. They are the world to us, Lord, and we know how precious they are to you. And so, Father, we ask for your blessing to be upon them, Father. We ask that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, that they go out in power at this age, Lord, and just proclaim the word that they know and the spirit that is within them. And we thank you for each one of them here. In Jesus' name, amen. Mrs. Frank is checking. Mrs. Thomas here. We haven't seen her. Sorry about that. Can sit right in. Oh. Oh, let me get this out a little bit. I'm going to be clunking into them. No? Okay. See, sorry, kids. You're here with us today. That's all right. I've got a video. You'll like it. Yay. Well, when I sat down to write out my thoughts about what I wanted to speak about today, I sat down and right at the computer it said, you have a virus. What do you want to do? Do you know what I did? I said, honey! I use that word all the time when I'm at the computer. And the translation of honey means, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. And it also means that I want my husband to stop what he's doing and take time to take care of me and my little computer problem. And bless his heart, he does. But I don't take the time to read the book Computers for Dummies. Now, if I did, I would glean a whole lot of knowledge. I could read my instruction manual, figure out what I was doing, but I don't. In fact, one time Michael was on leave and he was gone, and I called him with my problem, and he said, honey, can figure out what you're talking about. So you know what I did? No, I didn't get my book out and read my computer for dummy. I said, Brandon, Monday, can you please help me? And thankfully, he was patient enough to help me. But see, I seem very content just to rely on my limited amount of knowledge. I just rely on a little bit, and if I can't figure it out, I get frustrated. I'm angry. I don't open up my manual. I just wait for my husband to come home and say, honey, help me. So I really am finding the importance of having to read my instruction manual and figure that out. But I am not alone. In fact, I found someone else in a movie clip who didn't read his instruction manual. What I'm going to show you today is it's a clip of The Night at the Museum. Yay, I hear. See, I told you kids you'd like it. And in this clip, Larry has just arrived as a night watchman. And the three other night watchmen are going to give him some advice. So if we can play that little clip. Do we need to turn the lights on? Okay.
Larry, your keys, your torch. Right. You're going to want to strap those to your belt. Now, it can get a little spooky around here at night, so you might want to put a few lights on. All right, flashlight, keys, what am I... Oh! The instruction manual.
Instructions. You start with 1, 2, 3, 4. Are you cracking wise? I ought to punch you in the nose, hopscotch.
Leave him alone, Gus. You got it covered, right, Larry?
Yeah, I got it.
You better get it. Right,
Gus.
Larry, do them in order, do them all, and do them quick.
And the most important thing of all to remember, don't let anything in or out.
Out?
Good luck, son.
Night, Gus.
Young buck, cracking wise.
Move it on.
Okay, now we're going to go back to it. Do you think Larry read his instruction manual? No. All he did was fool around. He's kind of like me. Didn't bother. Didn't think that it was all that important. Didn't take it too seriously. So he played with the phone. He played with doodads. And he actually took a nap. And what we're going to find out is the consequences of not reading the instruction manual. So.
Cecil? Okay, very funny, Cecil. What is this, like a David Copperfield thing?
It explains everything.
Okay, I got him.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Wait, what?
Number one, throw the bone. What bone?
Thank you.
play fetch?
As we figured out, little thought in reading the instruction manual. And then life got chaotic, didn't it? It got out of control. He just wanted to get out. And all that could have been easily avoided if he had done one thing. Read his instruction manual. So how does that clip and how my computer story fit in? Well, God's given us an instruction manual. We're like Larry many times in a very chaotic, frightening period of our lives, and we wonder, how are we going to get out? We want to get out the door and say, revolve, and we can't get out. But God said, hey, I've given you something to help you with everyday life, every day to cope and to figure out what we're supposed to do. But many times, like myself, I just kind of glaze through that, and I don't read it, and sometimes we expect other people to read the Bible and explain it to us. But if it's like my husband, he knows how to fix the computer problem, and he fixes it. But the next time the problem comes up, I still don't know how to fix the problem. And we have to see the Bible as the same way. We need to understand it, to know it, and not always rely on somebody else to know the Word of God. We have to figure out what God is telling us. Now, we have some great teachers in the Word who explain things, but it should be that, oh, that is awesome. Here's my starting point. We have to know and we have to discover what God's true commands are, and we have to know them for ourselves, because we have to know at a moment's notice what to do with it. Now, I have seen my life get out of control. I've seen other people who have no peace and no tranquility in their life. And sometimes people have just stopped making the right choices in life. And there's not one of us who knows how to make the right moral choices. But God's given us His wisdom. He's given us His grace in knowing His word to live by and what we should do. The problem we have is we live in a very rebellious state. We have that sin nature. And we think that God's intentions and God's commands for us are more restrictions and limitations. And we just don't like them. I have seen people, oh, that was for back then. This is a new time. I don't need to live by them now. They're old things. No, God's still the same as He was yesterday, as He is today, and will always be. God's word is there to guide us and to bring blessings in the path. And we won't realize those blessings until we become obedient to the rules that God set out for us. And I'm saying, you know, as parents, we understand that, because our whole purpose in guiding and having rules in our family is to bring blessing. Our kids may say, oh, it's just not fair. All my other friends get to stay out till 12 o'clock at night. And we say, no, these are our rules. These are our limitations. You just have to obey me when I set these rules up. Because what we're trying is to provide a security, a path that we know that their future will be limited with all the destructive stuff that they could get into. And they may not like it. But we know that we're trying our very best to bless them. And God is the same way for us. God knows He's set rules and boundaries for us to live by so that our future will be better. Now, today I want to invest some time in the Psalm 119. And we're just going to stay in Psalm 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. No, I won't be reading it all to you. So, the poet in Psalm 119 dedicated the whole thing to the Word of God. As you read it, you'll see the zeal and the enthusiasm that this poet has for God's Word. And I want today to try and capture some of that enthusiasm, some of that excitement of understanding God's word. Now, Psalms 119 is an acrostic poem. What he did is he took the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and he just put them in the chunks. And he just looks at it at every angle and expresses how great God's word is. And so I wanted to look at that, and hopefully we can find some value in investing time into discovering God's word and see the importance of living and obeying God's word. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you open up with me in Psalm 119. And I'm just going to take parts of it today, some verses, and read it and just kind of talk a little bit about it. All right, the first one I want to talk about is starting in verse 9. I'll read that one section. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So we can see, starting to see the enthusiasm he has. But he starts out with a question. How can we keep ourselves pure? How can we do that when we are just surrounded by so many temptations, so many things are there to capture us? Well, he starts out, the first thing, we have to live according to your word. We have to know it. It has to be available within us to be able to know it. He says in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we don't know the word, if we don't have an understanding of it, that when a situation comes in the grocery store or in the neighborhood, we have to have it within us. We have to have God's word there available to bring it forth. He also says in verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Now, meditation is not really something that the Western culture does too well. We think sometimes of meditation as part of the occult. Other religions do it. So we don't maybe have a great understanding of it. But meditation is really a combination of reviewing, reflecting, thinking, analyzing, and even feeling something about the word and enjoying it. Meditation is a physical, intellectual, and emotional experience. So what kind of ways can we meditate on God's word? Well, take some time just to read a passage or a verse over and over and over again. The more you read it, sometimes you see a different word. You see it captures you. Your mind starts to go in the way maybe that the word is. You can also memorize part of it or all of it. Tim Frink is excellent in memorizing verses and just always having it available and just thinking about it as you memorize it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about it. Ask the Lord, what can you tell me about this verse? Can you give me some insight? What is God speaking to you? Ask him. Consider how that word fits in with the rest of the Bible. How does that word fit into your life? You have to make the word your own. You have to apply it to your life in general. Be emotional about the word. God's emotional. God gets angry. He gets compassionate. He has great love for us. Feel the way you feel. Ask him, how do you feel about this? What become the way God feels about that word? It's okay to be emotional with this. And then what we need to do is move on from a meditation to an application. Make the word your own. Make it yours. And then let's look at verse 14. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Have you ever seen the National Clearinghouse, Publishers Clearinghouse commercials? And they knock on the door and they have the check that's way so big and they say, you just won $10 million. Nobody's response in any of those is, oh, thank you very much. I don't want it. No, you have, oh my God, and the tears and Michael, Michael, oh my God. They're crying. They're excited. They're thrilled. The balloons, everybody's jumping up in joy. The whole family is rejoicing with them because they're in their riches that they just received. Well, the poet here is saying, hey, just like we would get excited about having riches, that's what the Word of God should be bubbling up inside of us. Whenever I hear about those $10 million or the lottery, how big it is, I hate to say it, but in my mind, I start saying, oh, if I ever won that, I could pay my house off, I could pay my kids' college tuition off. I could get that front porch I want. My car is 10 years old. Oh, yeah, God, I'd give you 10% and maybe a couple other ministries. And I make my list. And you know what? I was thinking, if we understood the power of God's Word and what it truly would do and impact our lives, we would be doing the same thing. I could do this with God's Word. I could go here. I could talk with this person, and our list would go on. So this poet captured the excitement of God's Word, and the possibilities were endless to him of what God's Word actually meant. So he's trying to really encourage us to make a list, become excited about what God's Word really would do. Look at verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You know, we all have moments, I believe, in which we see a sunset, we see a baby's face, or, you know, you sit somewhere in nature and you say, oh, God, you are so awesome. Who could deny God's power and creation? And we're in awe, we're in majesty. This is the same kind of thing that the poet is expressing of finding God's Word, feeling in awe and just, oh, Lord, this is cool what I've just read. I had an experience once where I was reading something in Job and then I discovered the application in Joshua. And as I searched more, I found it again happening in Revelation. And my experience was, this is awesome how God ties everything from the past to the future. He is so cool. And I found it. That's the feeling the poet's trying to express God's Word could do. Our eyes need to be open to the wonder of God's work and in his book. Look at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. You know, we live in a world in which we have lust of the eyes. And we have the, I deserve, I need, and I want. I hear that all the time. Especially you get that in the younger crowd. And, well, the older crowds say it too. I've known to say it. But in this, we really don't deserve it. We don't really need it. And in truth, we shouldn't want the things that the world offers to us. And yet our eyes get turned off from that. And we get kind of our eyes sway to the things of the world instead of the things that God's giving to us. And we need to find ourselves not becoming distracted with the world. I really like verse 37. I said, you know, I need to pray this every day. God, turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life. Wouldn't it be nice if every day those worthless things of this world just didn't seem that important? I want the Lord to give me a right perspective. Go ahead and look at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than my elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, and therefore I hate every wrong path. You know, I would love to keep my feet from that every wrong path. And here we see that this poet found that God's word gives us insight, gives us understanding, gives us wisdom. We can know more than our enemies. We can know more than our teachers because we've dedicated ourselves to it. We have a wisdom that precedes the natural boundaries. And, you know, we're always going to find ourselves with friends. We're always going to find ourselves with enemies or just occasional acquaintance or someone in the grocery store. We're surrounded by people. And we always have to be ready for giving a word of comfort, giving a word of advice, bringing peace instead of hostility in a certain situation. Wherever we go, you always hear stories. Oh, I met someone in Walmart. Someone was crying. Or I just bumped into so-and-so. And you just know that the Lord put you there. We have to have that word ready. We have to be prepared at a moment's notice to bring forth the things that the Lord has taught us. And you've heard so many times, I know it's happened to me, in which you weren't prepared for anything. It just kind of happened. And the word came out of you. And all you could do is say, thank you, God, because that was not me. We need to have that available resource within us and have that word of God in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits for that time. We have to be ready with God's words and not our own. Now, I have one more verse, and it's verse 105. And it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. There are no powerful flashlights in the Bible times. They didn't have the floodlights or, you know, going down the street with a lamp. So they were in a situation in which when you had a traveler, you just had one of those small oil lamps, and it had a flat wick, and it basically just gave you enough light so that you could see where your feet were going. It wasn't very much. And so this visual is a reminder for us that we aren't going to know everything that's up in our future. We're not going to know what's around the bend. We're not going to always know the troubles that are going to be coming at us wherever we walk. All we know is that God's word is enough to keep our feet from stumbling. We're going to take the next step. We're going to be prepared with God's word just for a little bit at a time. It won't show a diagram of our whole future, but we need to approach God's word with an expectation of hearing God's voice. And we need to apply that into our life. We need to find the joy of discovering what God's word is. There's so many in here that just show how excited he is, how important the word of God is, and how it got him through his life and what he needed. We're going to feel like we're going to have days like Larry, who all of a sudden the terror, the unrest, the unexcitement, excitement of the world is going to come after us, and we just can't get out of it, and we're not going to know what to do. But God's word can take that ferocious dinosaur and turn it into a little puppy, right? And we can take God's word, and as we read it, find peace, find comfort, and find the grace of God just pouring over us. And we're going to have situations where people are going to come and say, how did you get? How can you even find peace in the situation? I don't think I could have gotten through that. And our answer is, God was with me. And when we find that in God's word, we find comfort, we find time of reflection, we find hope. We'll find something in here that pertains to us particularly every day. And that's what the Psalm 19 is trying to show. We can be excited about God's word. We can find hope in God's word. But we won't find it unless we read the instruction manual. So I'm going to, Michael, did you have anything more? And I'm going to conclude. We'll keep it short for the kids. Well, why don't we stand up, and I'm going to just pray over us, and then I'll open up the altar. Heavenly Father, you have given us your word. You have given us just the time to find out who you are, your commands for us, Lord, your direction for our lives. And Father, sometimes we rebel against that and we want to do it our own way. But Lord, it just doesn't seem to come out quite as well. And so I pray for each person here that we would search out your word, that we would put it close to our hearts. I pray that you keep our eyes away from worthless things, that we would see value in your word. We'd see value in our lives being shaped by your word. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to reveal your wisdom, to give us understanding in your word. I pray for those things right now. I pray particularly for those who are in distress, whose lives seem to be in disorder. I pray for those who need just to hear from you. I ask, Father, that they would find it, you'd bring comfort to them. And I pray for peace to come over all of our lives. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have, Michael, you want to? We're going to open up the altar ministry, too, in just a minute. Let me get that.
I hear this. I'm sure you've heard this before. Yeah, you can sit down for a second. Take a load off. I've often heard this, usually within the framework of children. You know, if they only came with an instruction manual. I'm gonna make you this promise. My promise to you is that if you look into the Word for whatever your problem is, you're going to find the instructions there. Because I believe that even if it doesn't seem like, it seems like your problem is peculiar or unusual, you think that it's not in there, I make this promise to you that if you go in there and you spend some time in the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to make those words jump out at you, and the solution will present itself. Because the Word is all we need, the instruction manual to go through life, including what to do with our children. Getting dirty looks from my daughter. I'm going to ask you to stand again. We're going to open the altar now. And we're going to open the altar specifically, I think, for healing. If there's some problem that you have, that's fine. We can pray for you about that. Because we can do we can pray for emotional healing as well as physical healing. We're going to pray specifically within the context of Scripture. That's the solution to whatever issue it is that you have will present itself by getting into Scripture. So I'm going to invite anybody to come forward who is in emotional or physical pain, because we want to pray for you. We don't want you to leave here today no better than when you came, or in as much pain as when you came. So we ask for the opportunity to bless you before you go. I think, is this